Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com and Denver Cenogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan, the Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden Show. Hey, a little programming note. If you usually listen to us on Facebook, you're not right now because Facebook is down apparently all over the world. Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, the Facebook properties has been down really since about 10 o'clock this morning. Coincidentally, the day after 60 Minutes aired a piece with a Facebook whistleblower talking about how shocking they go for clickbait over ethics and anything else, to make a long story short. I'd be curious to see how that plays out, whether that ends up being, they're saying, oh, no, just a mistake. I'm like, that's a pretty expensive. They're losing like bazillions of dollars a minute in advertising, right? When that's gone. Or if there's some sort of hacking, I'm going to go right now with some kind of ransomware. They never tell us when that's the case. But at any rate, hey, so coming up, a lot to talk about today. We're going to have Westminster City Council member Bruce Baker.
Big election coming up on November, whatever it is, 4th or 3rd. We got four candidates who are on the right side, five candidates on the left. The Republican Party says it's going to get in local elections. Never does. Just another lie.
Right. So
November 2nd is the election.
Thank you, Sandra. And it's kind of thing. I mean, what's happening in Westminster, we've talked about it before, is happening all over. But want to talk about the first part of the show, the NASCAR F. Joe Biden chants. And then also, Dr. Fauci, this is what I'm saying. Our favorite Christmas song is going to be the F. Joe Biden chant. That's what it was going to be, going door to door. Ring the doorbell, hello, Merry Christmas, F. Joe Biden. But over the weekend, we're talking about how the media lies. We know they lie, but how some lies are okay and other lies are not okay. You may have heard, it's all over every place. There was a rock concert, I think at the New York Jets. I know at Rev School, no, I'm kidding about that, the playground. But all over at gatherings, there has been this spontaneous just eruption of the crowd chanting F. Joe Biden. Now, you know, I think maybe at first, if you're the Biden administration, you're like, yeah, it's secret Trump supporters doing that. But I got to think they've got to be a little bit worried about it.
They just got worried about getting Joe in bed.
Well, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he thinks. But over the weekend,
they're cheering for me.
They're cheering for me. That's right. Over the weekend, there was a NASCAR race, and an NBC Sports reporter, Kelly Stavis, was interviewing the winner of the race, Brandon Brown. And in the middle of it, and this wasn't really directed at the interview, you can see from the picture, the crowd is just chanting this. They start chanting the F. Joe Biden. But what she does is unbelievable. She then flat out lies on the air, trying to pretend like, well, you're not hearing what you're hearing. Thomas, if we could play the NASCAR soundbite, please.
Thank you to all of our partners. Oh, my God, it's just such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me, as you can hear the chants from the crowd, let's go, Brandon. Brandon, you told me you were going to kind of hang back those first two stages and just watch and learn. What did you learn that helped you there in those closing laps?
Oh, my God. It was learning how each line didn't stay to one, and everything shifted top to bottom so much.
I mean, it's clear what they're saying. The reporter clearly, I mean, Chuck was going to give her the benefit of the doubt, but it's been going on all over the country. Now, there are other news media organizations out there today saying quick thinking on her part. That's like quick thinking to say, you know, people aren't going to like the guilty verdict, so I'm just going to go with not guilty. It's just not guilty.
Joe Biden entered a baseball game. Not sure what kind of baseball game.
The congressional baseball game.
Well, they get shot a lot there in that one. But yeah. So he got booze, whoever he got. So they taped over it. We love Joe Biden. We love Joe Biden.
I mean, NASCAR took that tweet down. Dr. Donna is absolutely right. These are people from across the board chanting that, right? And for a variety of
all right, let's everybody. Love Joe Biden.
But what's interesting to me is, again, she clearly lied. And I want to get into why some lies are okay and other lies are not. There was a big story over the weekend. The Boulder Daily Camera fired a reporter. Apparently, she'd written a lengthy piece about memories of 9/11 and had interviewed local people on their memories of 9/11. But the trouble was, the whole thing was completely fabricated. I guess the people were real, but the people must have complained to the Boulder Camera. Yeah, I mean, every reporter, you dream of that, right? I'm just going to make it up. And so she made up quotes. She had them being at the Pentagon when they weren't anywhere near the Pentagon. She had them. I mean, she just blatantly made it up. It was a good read. It took the Boulder Daily Camera roughly a month to do something about it, but they have recently taken the original story down and put together this very lengthy, it's on Complete Colorado. You know, they kind of go quote by quote, even reading, or you can read all the ways that the story was run. Very apologetic. Initially said they were going to be completely transparent about it, but then wouldn't say what happened to the reporter. So then they came out and said they fired the reporter. So there's that. And that's how they deal with that lie, which it's bad if you're a reporter to make up the entire story, like not even be close,
but,
right?
But innocuous.
Right. This is a harmless, I don't want to say harmless, but this is just a generic story about people having memories about 9/11. But let's go to the New York Times and the Washington Post, who won Pulitzer Prizes for the Russia collusion story. Over the weekend, Donald Trump, you want to read it or you want me to?
You can read it. You got the glasses.
Okay. Wrote a letter to the Pulitzer Prize people. Now that, I mean, everybody knows, and they've been forced to even report, Durham has indicted a guy in connection with it. And to make a long story short, it's become completely evident that there was no Trump-Russia collusion, that the collusion was fabricated by the Hillary Clinton campaign in coordination with all kinds of people,
FBI,
some
CIA.
In and out of the government. The investigation is continuing. And there was no, as Durham points out, there was no Trump-Russia collusion. There was actually no Russia collusion anywhere. Even the Democrats didn't collude with Russia. They just made it up. Yet, and we've known that for years. We had Michael Tao on our show years ago.
Well, go ahead
talking
and read
about
if you're going to read
so
it.
So this is what Donald Trump said. He says, I'm calling on the Pulitzer Board to immediately rescind the 2018 Pulitzer Prize for National Reporting.
Go down to the big quote.
Well, I just awarded to the New York Times and the Washington Post. When the board gave the prize, it lauded the recipients for, quote, deeply sourced, relentlessly reported coverage in the public interest that dramatically furthered the nation's understanding of Russia interference in the 2016 presidential election and its connection to the Trump campaign, the president's transition team, and his eventual administration. Okay, so they flat out lied. They flat out lied. Now, have you seen, but the prize is still there. They still have the award.
Well, I'm sure the Boulder Daily Camera ran lots of Russiagate stories, probably lifting them from AP or something, or the Washington Post. But, you know, they didn't apologize for those reportings, which are, you know, no reporting, no, you beat the innocent little lamb to death for her transgressions. And then, of course, you forgive yourself for everybody else. But anybody knows the history of Pulitzer Prize and the New York Times knows the famous 1932 Pulitzer Prize to Walter Durant. He was their Moscow station chief for about 20 years, maybe he was 18 till 38. And he wrote all these articles about how, you know, everything's great here, workers' paradise. The famine in Ukraine that ended up killing around 10 million people didn't exist. They're a little hungry, of course, but there's no famine going on and everything else. And so it's been proven over the years that Walter Durant knew what was going on. And so it was asked, I think, 2001, that they pull their wonderful prize. And they said, no deceptive, deliberately deceptive reporting. No, we can't pull that one. No. We don't even know where the prize is. So
I mean, we go back to, and we're going to get Michael Tao on our original interview with Michael Tao when he was talking about and he said it was all Hillary Clinton made it up to try to get herself out of hot water. If you go back to, she was not doing very well in the election at that time. And so her people come up with this bizarre Russia thing that no one would have understood, but the exact same language is used in the New York Times headline the next day, right? So the New York Times reporter, I mean, they were fed the headline. So they had to know. And at any time in the past 6 years, you'd think they might have said, you know, should we look into that again? Should we maybe clarify? Should I go back to my source? No. So it's totally fine to lie if you're the New York Times and the Washington Post. Michael, receive major rewards for it.
What Michael Tao has been arguing from day one that the whole DNC hack was a lie. There's no hack by it, and he had...
Well, which they
elaborate
now,
evidence.
They now know is true, right?
We haven't seen that come out yet, but they reprinted his article on Free Republic, and I was looking at the comments section because it was written, you know, in 2020 or before that, and they're all going, who's this guy? Who's this Michael Tao?
He's
What's
great.
This clearer picture?
Let me tell you, aclearerpicture.net is his website. We got to get him on again. Aclearerpicture.net, if you want to go and read the whole thing. And he goes through, when you do read that, what becomes clear again is that these reporters were willingly being
part of the scam.
They were part of the scam.
They should be indicted themselves, really. I mean, because they were part of a fraudulent effort to indict people.
Right.
And it's just amazing that. So I went back and looked at Pulitzer Prize board. All Columbia University, Harvard, New York Times, Washington Post, New Yorker, Los Angeles Times.
Yeah.
Nobody from anywhere from except on the extreme coast. Just a total hack liberal one. And they refuse to apologize to Donald Trump, saying he's doing false marketing and that they will not approach us again. But we've got our new awards coming out at any time now. So hang on there.
I'm sorry. You know, I can see this poor, bolder reporter going, well, everyone lies.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
That's all your paper
that's
is.
That's all you do is lie. Why are you firing me?
What do you think I learned it from?
Yeah. I mean, it's like ridiculous. At one hand, you could sort of say that there are smaller staffs and there's less editorial oversight. But when you look at it again.
There's no editorial oversight over New York Times.
No, they just.
They fired all their copy editors.
They've just flat out lied, and that's okay. And, you know, again, what they should be doing is, number one, rescinding the prize. They should be.
It's a joke prize.
Well, yes.
Conservatives have never learned that all these groups, you know, get together and give themselves prize. The White House correspondent one was another prize for their fraudulent ones. I mean, they're all just lefties giving prizes to lefty.
Congratulating them. Yeah.
Yeah. Denver Post following suit. What a fraud.
Well, exactly. And now the Denver Post, I think, carried the Boulder Daily Camera story and all of the lengthy, like I said, they sort of cite all of the mistakes made and go on to say, look, we're not even sure if these are all of the mistakes. And they put the correction in. But again, something that has a massive impact on this country is probably the most corrupt, the most scandalous thing that's happened ever in politics in this country.
Right.
And they facilitated and were part of it. Nothing. They get to keep their prizes. That's got to be embarrassing at parties now. When
they're
you see it on there,
comparison.
Like we have my Emmy back here, right? I didn't do that for the Emmy. If you go, what was that for? Oh, reporting on the Russia collusion. And it's like, but there was no Russia collusion. It's like, well,
now that's how good it was.
I mean, it's just insanity. And, you know, and people wonder why, you know, nobody believes the media anymore.
Well, this is luckily the Boulder camera with full transparency is beating to death the dead lamb.
Yeah, this poor, I don't want to say poor reporter, you shouldn't. But again, I got to imagine that she probably did look around and say, what do you mean? All of this stuff is lies. A Hunter Biden laptop. We said that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. And that was true.
Russian disinformation.
Right. I mean,
what do you think Jan Psaki does every day other than get out there and lie her little head
off? You know, we reported that Biden said we're going to get all the Americans. I mean, you know, we report that everyone's dying of COVID. We report this. We report that. I mean, we know it's all a lie. Why am I getting fired for it? She's probably got a pretty good case of appeal. If they've got, I don't know if they're part of the labor union there. Well, you could go in and say everyone lies. That's the nature of things.
Well, that's certainly true.
It is a sad state of journalism. And again, the reason they're doing it is because, and this is why they're dooming themselves really, is because the facts actually don't matter. What matters is the religion, their religion. What matters is the narrative. And if you have to lie to make the narrative work, that's fine. Right. And if you have to not even just leave stuff out, but openly make stuff up, if you have to willingly and knowingly let yourself be used to further another person's political agenda, that's okay.
They had a bounty on Americans, and that's why we can't get about gas.
Right. I mean, you could just go through the list. It's crazy where they lied. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about that. Something else kind of fun before we get to Bruce Baker. I don't know if you guys were aware of this, but we can't have Christmas celebrations. It's your holiday celebrations. Technically, we're not supposed to do Halloween either. I know we are part of the resistance, so I have my Halloween decorations up already.
Are we getting candy out, the poison candy for kids?
Well, the kids can't come to the door because they might get, you know, COVID or something.
We still have to have candy out.
Yeah, here, I want to just go through some statistics. This is from the CDC. So the CDC, who by the way, and we're going to play the Fauci bite explaining all of this. So 75% of Americans over 12 have been vaccinated. Another roughly 100 million have had the COVID virus and recovered from it. So, a massive amount of the people have natural or some sort of immunity for this virus that is 99.9% survivable.
As long as you get ivermectin, some other things. So the best news today was, you know, ivermectin, they would go, oh, that's just for worms or horses and everything else. In India, they're not only suing WHO for saying that, but they gave out a charge, which includes a death sentence for a doctor who repeated the WHO saying ivermectin is bad for you. And some people didn't take ivermectin and died. So she's got a potential death sentence. Now, that ought to wake the WHO up.
Well, they don't care about that because, Chuck, there can't be any people celebrating Christmas. So Dr. Fauci, and here again, we're going to talk about because they're turning around lying.
Do we have a Fauci one?
He's lying. Let me just set it up. He was doing
not Dr. Fauci. Are you telling me New York Times, Washington Post, and Dr. Fauci's lying?
I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm sorry.
This is shocking. This is totally shocking.
Oh, and briefly, just an aside, Charlene, Facebook down, who done it? We talked about that a little bit, Charlene. I'm going with some sort of ransomware, Trump. But we'll get, Trump did it. Well, that would be funny. Steve Bannon did it. Joe Altman. So he was doing an interview with, it's one of the news shows, who flat out asked him, are we going to be able to get together to celebrate holidays, the holiday events, or is it too soon to tell? Too soon to tell. That was the question. And Thomas, if we could please play the Dr. Fauci soundbite.
It's just too soon to tell. We just got to concentrating on continuing to get those numbers down and not try to jump ahead by weeks or months and say what we're going to do at a particular time. Let's focus like a laser on continuing to get those cases down. And we can do it by people getting vaccinated and also in the situation where boosters are appropriate to get people boosted, because we know that they can help greatly in diminishing infection and diminishing advanced disease, the kinds of data that are now accumulating in real time.
And so then the CDC doubles down, and the CDC on their Facebook page says that this is a quote, the holidays increase the risk of getting and spreading COVID. Frankly, the holidays increase the risk of a lot of things.
Yeah, right.
COVID is the least of the worries. So the holidays, according to the CDC, increase the risk of getting and spreading COVID. Of course, unless you're one of the sophisticated people, right, like at the Obama party.
That's right.
And they advise that people celebrate virtually, wearing masks, social distancing, and so no, we can't have Christmas again this year. Now we can, of course, go to the Emmys. We can, of course, go to the Obama's birthday party. We can, of course, go to the Met unless you're a servant, then you have to wear a mask.
Right.
We can do all of these other things. But the holidays, if you want to celebrate some sort of holiday with your family, can't do that. It is
too dangerous. Let's just get rid of the families altogether. That'll solve most of the problems.
Well, we're going there next. So one of the things though that Fauci's doing today, he is saying that was taken out of context. I'm like, no, it wasn't taken out of context. She flat out said, are we going to be able to get together or is it too soon to tell? And he said it's too soon to tell. Today he's saying, no, I'm going to get together with my family. We can all get together
with
families.
I'm elite. I'm not about me.
I'm sophisticated. Yeah, I'm not talking about all you people. From Dr. Donna, you believe anything Fauci says? I have some property in Florida to sell you. Now you can't see it, but there are certain things depending on the tide. Exactly. This is true too. Holidays increase the risk of births in September. And then from Charlene, it's not a booster, just supposedly lessens the impacts when you get it. Well, and there are a lot of, there's one of the things, again, that makes it difficult when you know that they're lying to you, right? Is to figure out, well, what exactly is the truth?
Well, that would be a very difficult task.
Well, it's confusing. It's not confusing.
Everything they say is a lie. If you work on that basis, you're ahead of the game.
Well, right. But then what's the truth of it? Because you look at the VAERS vaccine reporting site, right? They have tens of thousands of adverse reactions to the vaccine. There's some indication that what the problem with the Delta variant is, and that's why it was rising, is that and keep in mind, this was not a vaccine. This was a gene therapy. It's not a vaccine. And what it's done is it's made people, okay, so they don't get that particular strain of COVID, but the Delta variant, they're more susceptible to, it's just a mess. It's hard to figure out.
CDC is sending out this message from Atlanta. While in Atlanta, there are football games and other things with 100 or 80,000 people. I mean, all those people go, oh, okay, well, lucky we could go to this football game, but no Christmas.
Let's go back to Michael Tao. And as we get bogged down in this, he always has done great stuff at aclearerpicture.net, where he talks about, remember, this is a disease or a virus that is 99.9% survivable. And the people who die from it have, for the vast majority of them, significant underlying comorbidities.
And they don't take the cocktail that can cure it.
Right. And then the government forces them to go into nursing homes and onto
ventilators. Put them on a ventilator and kill them.
Yeah. So keep that in mind when you get bogged down on this. And so, Brian Dundup had an interesting column up in American Thinker today. We'll have to get him on, talking about, and I think he's right, that COVID has replaced climate change as the new left religion.
It's a co-religion.
But people weren't really buying the climate change.
Yeah, right? Sure, they are. But they've had, they've come up with a better one. It was just kind of like Judaism, and then they came with Christianity, and they came up with Islam. I mean, it's just an improvement on things. And so they kind of go, yeah, this is so much easier than kicking them around with no heat. We can just put them in houses and jab them.
Well, exactly. And he said, there's several things that it has. Number one, you do have something that is not based on observable fact, but that you have to take somebody else's word for it, right? Which is why Dr. Fauci is coming out there. Although I don't know that a lot of the religions, I don't think, poll test things as much as Dr. Fauci and Joe Biden do. And other things are, they've got certain symbols, the mask. That's why we all have to wear a mask, even though everybody knows that they don't really have much of an impact at all on stopping the spread of COVID. And again, keeping in mind that if you do, it's 99.9% survivable. It's just, so Fauci's trying to say, no, you can't do Christmas. And I'm sure somebody in the Biden administration said, no, we can do Christmas. Remember, we're cured. We're happy. We're happy. Hey, Barney, I see you popping in and out. Did you want to comment? Barney, maybe he's driving. If you do want to comment, Barney, or anybody actually on Zoom, just go ahead and unmute yourself, and we can bring
Dr.
you
Donna
up.
Says, there's no test for SARS-CoV-2. How's there a test for what we call Delta? There isn't. It's all BS.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah. And this is from Charlene. Back to the Facebook thing. She said, what needs to be done to make sure Facebook stays down indefinitely? Should we start taking up a collection or something? I'm open to all ideas here. I saw somebody else tweeting that we have to keep Facebook down till we have herd immunity. So we have to keep it down forever till we have herd immunity. I think that, these fans chanting the F Joe Biden, it's partly in reaction to, like, we're not going back under lockdown. Prices are high. We don't believe anything you say, and no matter how much an NBC reporter tries to say, let's go, Brandon. I mean, the thing
we
is, too,
love Joe Biden.
I've been a reporter, and sometimes stuff gets going on in the background that you don't have any control over. But what you do, number
lie
one, is you ignore it. Okay.
No,
you just, you know, I mean, but like I said, it'd be like, but this, it's politically motivated. You could tell that because all the other media are praising her, saying, great job she did covering that up. Like I said, it'd be like covering a trial and the verdict comes down and you don't like it.
The trouble is, they kept on chanting it. So yeah, it was pretty clear she was lying. I mean, that was embarrassing part for. To the extent they can be embarrassed.
Well, and she paused. You can see that she paused there, too. We have Sherry from Lakewood online, too. Hey, Sherry.
Hi. I don't know if you guys saw the study by, his name is Dr. Robert Young. Sounds like a movie star.
Yeah.
But he did a paper, and he did a detailed analysis of the blood and the vaccines. And but one of the things that was really interesting, a lot is interesting, but one of the things that is he found in the vaccines, they contain a tropical parasite. It's called Trypanosoma cruzi, but in Latin America, they call it Chagas disease, Chagas. So that might explain why ivermectin works, because there's parasites in the vaccine.
That could be. Well, you know, and Sandra, let me ask you this. What do you think about Fauci saying that, people and the CDC saying, no, you should celebrate Christmas, virtual, shouldn't get together for Christmas because it increases the risk of getting and spreading COVID? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, what you guys are saying about climate change, Fauci, I'll say, what if the motivation behind the vaccine is to reduce mankind in order to protect the earth? So a mass human die-off or mass sterilization from forced injections would be a solution for the group of people that are worried about the earth's environment being destroyed by human overpopulation. And look at the people behind this. These people, Bill Gates, they've come out and said there's too many people. The Georgia Guidestones, they're telling you they don't want us. They want us dead.
Dead.
And they want us locked in our homes. You know, I don't know if I would go that far, Charlene Sherry, but I think that clearly there is a lot more going on than just being concerned about our health.
Michael Tao certainly thinks that it was never a very serious disease. It killed the same thing the flu did, and they decided to destroy the world economies while maintaining their own. So any of those theories these days, you go, well, that's ridiculous. But these days, there's almost nothing too ridiculous, given the amount
If you don't divide it into, like, who died of flu and who died of this, just look at how many people died, the percentage, starting with 2000. And it's like 8% all the way, and then I forget about 2016, 2014, it goes up to 9%. And it stays the same. The same amount of people die. When you consider population goes up, death goes up, the percent didn't change. So how do you have a pandemic when the same amount of people die every year, basically?
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right in there. Hey, Sherry, thank you. We've got another call, so we'll go to that. Thanks. Appreciate your call, as always. Let's go to Rocco on line 4. Hey, Rocco.
Hey, Chuck and Julie. This Christmas, following Fauci's advice, I think instead of Santa Claus, we're going to have Safety Claus. And instead of the 12 days of Christmas, a gift, we're going to have basically the 12 vaccine shots of Christmas. I think it'll be up to 12 by then. What do you think?
I think so. And you know how the Neiman Marcus catalog comes out with these exotic gifts? Maybe that'll be, you can get your spouse a vaccine booster shot complex, and spa day all at once in the fancy glitter mask or something. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Hey, Rocky, we got one more call before we go to Bruce. So thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, okay. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, Rocco.
Thank you. And then we have Barney on line 1. Hey, Barney, thank you for calling in.
Julie, don't knock down Sherry's theory, by the way. Well, wait a minute. For Halloween, I'm going
to
dress up like Dr. Fauci, and I'm going to find me a good country and western bar and get the shit kicked out of me. How about that?
I was going to say, that could be dangerous.
How that works. Yeah, but listen, Julie, these bureaucrats, are you kidding me? They're cheering. They love this. All the old people they knocked off. And I'm, say what you want to, but this thing affects the brown people pretty bad. So, yeah, I think there's some creepy little bastards in the government that, they get off. Don't be too surprised. Sherry's idea really isn't that far, from the, just like, politicians and Supreme Court justices molesting little children. That's not really that far too off the realm. Like it or not, we know what creepy Republicans like to do, rape little boys. So, the Democrats go for the girls, but I don't know. I'm just saying, hey, I didn't mean to be stupid, but what do you think? Dr. Fauci, walk into a country bar and see if I can get the shit kicked out of me? I think that's a great idea.
You got two needles,
Right, you could jab people or something like that. Yeah. Given the F. Joe Biden chance, I don't think you have to go to a country western bar, Barney. I think you could go
about everywhere. I know. There was a Brantley Gilbert concert, and they started screaming it, and he turned the microphone around to him. He goes, yeah, I'm with you on that. And even that sissy boy, it's great. This is all over the country. That says a lot. I mean, it's not just liberals getting together and calling down Trump. This is everybody. So anyway, love you guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Perfect timing. You took us right up to Bruce Baker. Hey, so Thomas, we have Bruce on Zoom. I can see. So don't worry about calling him because his phone will ring during the Zoom thing. So we have Bruce Baker, Westminster City Council member on Zoom. Hey, Bruce, go ahead and unmute yourself and come on in. Well, can't hear
you. Can't hear you yet.
Can you unmute your microphone there on the bottom? Did I catch you by surprise there? He'd be like, but I had another minute. At the bottom where you see there's a speaker there, if you can unmute yourself there. See what the little microphone icon
gotcha.
Is?
Uh-huh. Hey,
success. There we go.
Well, we've got Bruce Baker. He's a former councilor.
Very good.
From Westminster and is running again. He ran for mayor and did well, but did not win. And now he's back. He's been a Republican for a long time, unaffiliated this time, but he and three other people are running all separately, I guess, because we'd hate to win together. We'd rather separate.
But I put your yard sign up in our yard today, Bruce. Your yard sign is up in at least, and I see a lot of your signs all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. But you're running with, you're not running.
Yeah,
with.
We do have good coverage on the signs.
Yes. Yeah.
But then it is a really positive message.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things we tend to forget about in these local elections is that this is going to make the most difference in people's lives. Because, I mean, in this election, my two main issues are, number one, the price of water. And the price of water is just over the top. And you can go anywhere in this city and you can see the harmful impact that it's had.
Yes.
I see neighborhoods, you know. And, of course, if you don't water your lawn, then your tree's going to die because trees take water, too, and that's going to have a profound impact. And all of the smoke screens and all of the misleading and the misrepresentation cities done about this need for infrastructure and our infrastructure's old or this need for conservation, people are beginning to see through that. And the other issue is all these apartments they're
building.
Yes,
yes.
And one of the first questions I ask, wait a minute, you know, when they talk about conservation, if we don't have enough water to water our front lawns, where are we getting the water to give to the people in these apartments?
Right.
Right.
Well, and I'll tell you, I'm getting a positive feedback on both those issues.
Well, to give folks, and one of the reasons, Bruce, we love to have you on is because you do a great job of pointing out how, while we're talking about Westminster, this is going on in probably whatever city you're living in, right? There are cities all over the country with elections coming up, and this is a very progressive push to use city councils to essentially social engineer us into the progressive agenda. Just so folks know, in Westminster a couple of years ago, Bruce fought it, but they raised the water rates among the highest in the nation now. It used to be maybe a $60, $100 water bill, and we don't have a very big yard. $469 was my last water bill. We've heard of people who had $1,000 or more, people who are on fixed incomes. And the thing is they want us to just have rocks in the yard. They don't want water. And
but as Bruce has pointed out, with the rocks, you also don't get any trees. So.
Oh, no, and it increases the heat. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But they also want to pack us into high-density developments. Let me ask you what's going on, because we live not far from what was supposed to be the great new development in Westminster, what used to be the Westminster Mall. Does, like, anybody live there? I mean, it just looks vacant, and there are weeds and stuff all over the place. And this poor, like, JCPenney's stuck in the middle of the what's going on there? Do you know? I mean,
what is going on there is, I have heard that our city manager lives there. I don't know how true that is, but I've heard our city
manager. Given how much money he makes, you'd think he'd live in a lot better place.
What about homeless people? I've heard some rumors, and actually I think there are some people who rent there, but it's a massive apartment complexes. But I've heard that the city, and this I don't know, so I don't mean to spread misinformation, but that the city has been paying to house homeless people there. Have you heard anything about that?
I don't know any kind of things like that. I do know that one of the projects there, I think it's called Eaton Street, is a percentage of income housing property.
Right.
It's got about 118 units, and they charge 60% of your income or some kind of formula. But the other probably, and I'm guessing at this, but I bet you the other 700 units there are all market rate units. Right. I don't know what their occupancy is, and they're just finishing up the apartments anyway. I do know that every project there has been heavily subsidized with taxpayer money.
Right. Well, and not just that one, they're all over the place, right? I mean, that one, I mean, it's just piles of dirt. There are no, I was talking to somebody who said, they were going to try to go to a restaurant there because they figured it's supposed to be walkable, right? And there'd be restaurants. They're like, there's nothing there. There's a hotel. It's like, why would you stay there? I mean, it's just, it was some social, engineer on the staff that wants to cram us all into these, and they built this, and it was sort of a build it and they will come, and that doesn't appear to be working, and taxpayers are stuck with the bill, right?
Julie, you are absolutely right, and you have the courage to really point out what's going there on there. Is this social engineering? Is that instead of serving the people who live in Westminster, they have decided, and I'm talking about the paid staff, too.
Right.
I'm not talking about the electeds. I'm talking about this paid staff, these basically city planners who are getting six-figure incomes, working 4 days a week with a 10% pension match. They know how they want us to live. And they want us to live in these high-density beehives on the end of mass transit lines.
Right.
Now, of course, the new downtowns, not on the end of any mass transit anywhere.
No, and all the transit lines, since no one's riding them, they've canceled a significant portion of them anyway. So,
right. And also, where would you go?
Yeah.
I mean, how
downtown
many Rocky
Denver.
Games
yeah,
a year?
Right.
Downtown Denver, so you could help, watch, get
watch mugged, the homeless,
watch the homeless people get harassed by homeless people.
Well, Bruce, you're running for city council, and who's the mayor's race between?
Okay, in the mayor's race, it is between, the former mayor of Westminster, Nancy McNally, whom I support, and one of the current council people who was elevated in that mayor, and her name is Anita Sykes. And Anita Sykes is unable to see the harm that's going on in Westminster. I guess she can't see the brown wands. Or if she sees them, she doesn't care.
Yeah,
well, isn't she an eMERGE candidate, that group that the progressive...
Yes, ma'am, she is.
She's
an eMERGE candidate, and so are a couple of the other ones, eMERGE people. And, of course, we had some former... politicians on the Westminster City Council, and Democrat Party almost used our council as a farm club in baseball. And
exactly.
So they got some practice there and some name recognition there, and they moved them up. And of course, they're doing their best to try to get more of their friends in and just pull the wool over the residents' eyes.
Right. They went to work for Jared Polis. They went to get on to the state legislature. They've done all kinds of things. Well, let me ask you this. We'll get you, before we let you go, the names of people, so folks who are from Westminster can listen. But for other people who are looking at city council races, because the Democrats, and they're clever about this. It doesn't say, Democrat, I favor destroying your world and your community. What kinds of things, I guess, would be red flags to you that people could look out for?
On the first issue is that we need concrete answers. Please, don't talk to me in generalities. And that's what most politicians do, because generally when you give concrete answers, all you do is make enemies.
Okay.
And so that's why politicians are loath to give them, and most who win don't give them. But you can look behind the lines. And if you find somebody giving concrete answers, that is a very good thing.
Okay.
But if you talk to people, especially buzzwords for me, sustainability.
Oh, yeah.
I hear sustainability, man, a red light goes off. Because, first of all, can you define that? I mean, you can call anything sustainability. I mean, that's just a goofy. That's just an absolutely goofy term. Right off the top of my head, I wish I had some of my papers here and I could point out some more ones. But that, another one is they want to control growth. Well, what does that mean?
No, right. They don't. They don't want to control.
Well, growth. Only some growth.
Yeah, well, they want to control apartment growth by massively increasing.
They want to make it so you can't build single-family homes and neighborhoods and suburbs, and you must do that. But of course,
affordability,
if you say control growth, it can mean anything.
Affordability.
That's usually
there you go. Bing. If you hear that's somebody usually talking affordability,
it's Section 8
that's
housing.
Another red light. And to me, that's an immediate turnoff. And Julie and Chuck, you're absolutely right that this is being marketed everywhere.
Right.
And most places, it's being marketed without opposition.
Right.
No one is opposing it.
Right. Well, I mean, it's difficult to run for city council because, I mean, I think you have a lot of candidates who aren't practice politicians. And unlike the Democrats,
that's wrong because now they are practice politicians because they go to Emerge.
Except for the Emerge people who are.
Republicans are training some people and
Casper,
hopefully Casper training some people. Well, who else do you recommend people vote for, Bruce?
And easy acronym, BIDD. BIDD.
Okay.
And that stands for Baker, Ireland, DeMott, and Dodaro.
All right. Okay. BIDD.
Those are the four people.
I like that.
And what we need is we need more people. See, because one of the reasons people don't run for school board and city council and all these things is that a person running for the best reasons is taking a huge part of their life and saying, I'm going to donate this to the public good for the next 4 years.
Right.
And that's a big obligation. And I found that most of the good people take that really seriously. And they will not say yes to that unless they're truly intent upon it. And that's like Kathleen Dodaro, Christine Ireland, and David DeMott. Those people really mean they're going to work for the public good. And the other ones are working for their advancement. They're just politicians for higher office and training.
No, and you're absolutely right. And that's sort of the Democrat model there. And in the meantime, it's like locusts. They kind of move through, destroy your neighborhood, your community. Then they move
graduate on to a higher level
of
county.
Kind of destroy their district or their county and then the state. And if they really get going, then they can move to Congress where they don't really do much of anything. But still, well, Bruce, where can people?
Well, let me ask you a couple other things.
Sure.
The chair of the Republican Party, Christy Burton Brown, says they're very much into helping local candidates, that the Republican Party has been briefed to do that in the past, and now they're all on board. Do you find any effort by the state Republican Party to help any of those candidates?
I've not heard of anything because I am, well, an unaffiliated now. I would not expect anything. But on the ones who are Republicans, I've not heard of them thanking the state party for any help at all.
Well, you know,
just in contrast, when we had the recall election, Kathleen Dodaro ran.
Right.
She's a Republican and a hardworking one and one of the people that keep the party going. And as far as I know, and as far as her campaign contributions report show, she got no help from the county or the state. And I haven't seen any state help in this.
Well, you know,
unfortunate.
I'm a PCP, which is the lowest rung of the worker line. I'm also an executive board, which is the highest, but I'm also the lowest. Republican Party, you say, hey, we got these great Republicans running with Bruce Baker's also thing. You know, why don't you go out and hear the Republicans in your neighborhood? Just go by and say, hey, here's the more a free market group, and maybe you should do that. That'd be an enormous help.
That would be an enormous help if basically they could contact registered Republicans in the district and say, your vote will count this time.
Yes.
Right.
Because, of course, one of the biggest challenges we're facing is most of the voters do not vote.
Right.
Out of like 70,000 registered voters, the most we've ever had vote in one of these city elections is 30,000.
Right.
Wow.
Generally, it's more around 23.
Right. Well, and you're absolutely right. So knowing who those people are, some kind of outreach effort to those people, yeah, because I think people particularly focus on the presidential election. They're like, yes, is there an election? There's, I mean, and then they focus on 2022, the governor's race. It's like, no, there's one this November. Now, there's some ballot issues out there that may kick it into gear, but those are all, for the most part, I think, progressive ballot issues, many of them, right? And so that may not be helpful.
We actually have three really tax raising mesh issues here in west of the Minster, and they want to raise the tax.
Of course they do, because we have raising your water rate isn't enough. We need to make sure, because some of you people are still watering your lawn and you have flowers, and we do not have flowers in the gulag. That's right.
Where have flowers gone?
That's right. Well, Bruce, where can people find out more about you if people want to help, if people want to volunteer time, energy, money, a yard sign, etc.?
That'd be great. I can be reached at brucebakercolorado.com.
That's pretty straightforward.
brucebakercolorado.com. And I can link, and I've got a link on my page to really of the Christine Ireland's page. And she has on her page who all the good guys in the race are.
Okay.
Perfect. That's all right. Great. Well, Bruce, you're one of the good guys. Thank
you're a
you.
Good guy.
Yeah. Thank you for your time and for your fight. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. Let's read some of the comments now. You know, the local party endorsed many before the hat was even open to take nominations, making it difficult for anyone else to want to be in the race, so supporting it with money. Sandra, I know this is probably not on your list, but would you briefly talk about where we can get more conservative info on Amendment 78, Prop 119? I know this is leaping Prop 120. You know what? Sandra, we've been talking about that. I don't know offhand, you know, Complete Colorado.
Well, let's do a show on it.
Yeah, but we'll do a show on it and give you our take.
On Wednesday.
We don't have time Wednesday. We're busy Wednesday.
Okay, for Party Friday,
we'll talk about Prop 119.
Leap is very, very bad. And there's one cut your rates on your home tax. And so that'd be very good. But we'll talk about the ones coming
because
up.
Like anything, the titles of them are like, we support puppies and unicorns and would never raise your taxes, except for really little in this fine print, you know? Yeah. So, hey, I know Dr. Donna is on, and Dr. Donna so go ahead, if you're there, go ahead and bring your camera up and your microphone off. Wanted to talk about some other local races too. I mean, one of the things we want to do here, and we've talked about this, it's very difficult for local candidates to get any information out.
Unless you're a Democrat.
Or unless you're like a Republican and you do something that they can like scream at you about, and then whether it's true or not, and then they do that. So we want to encourage folks to go ahead. And if you know a local candidate, if you are a local candidate, even if we don't agree with you, we'll put you on just so people can hear, because I think it is important and it's hard if you're trying to figure out what to do. So Dr. Donna, was that, I think I have the right Dr. Donna.
Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. All right.
I've got the mic, but no video. But
okay, that's okay. I have days like that too. So yeah, we've got a few minutes here. Why don't you tell us what you've got going on?
Okay. We are Keep Colorado Free and Open up in Loveland is sponsoring a school board candidate forum, which I'm getting to set up with Cooter and Thompson. And I think there's one candidate that wants to join us from Estes. So this is obviously a local event for people that would vote for people in Larimer County. Sure. It'll be October 12th, 6 to 8 p.m. That's a Tuesday in Loveland, 605 18th Street, SW Southwest, at the Message of Life Church. Candidates have been asked to address concerns that people might have as parents, grandparents, and taxpayers. That's something that a lot of people forget. We already have the attention of the teachers union and some striker money up here.
Okay, Pat Stryker. Okay.
Yeah. She was so,
one of the famous four.
Yeah, one of the Blueprint Colorado founders, fundamentally changing things, the political scene in Colorado. And it is alarming to me that these people are turning their attention to school boards. And Dr. Donna, I appreciate what you do, because we need to turn our attention to the school board races too.
Absolutely.
So, and one thing, you know, if you want to ask questions, and most of these candidates will be showing up that were invited are considered friendly. We'll try to find that out. And So you ask questions in such a way that you may not be actually asking questions like, what do you think about masks? Because that's going to stir up a lot of problems. But, you know.
Well, you should ask that question.
Yeah.
What else should you ask?
I think that would actually bring out the teachers union and yes. the money and bigger yeah. force. And I don't think that's got that big of a support up here. I know people are upset, but we still have a very strange area. Loveland is more conservative than Fort Collins.
But you know,
the Democrats, every school board I've ever seen, the Republicans are going to go, no, we don't let that out. We don't let this out. Democrats, at least among themselves, they all know exactly who the NEA endorsed, the Colorado CEA. Every Democrat knows who they are. Republicans are often confused because the messaging is often very similar. The school board teachers right. often mask their messages. In Westminster, the Democratic candidates really mask their views.
Look what happened in Dugco, right? Yeah. I mean, they're all for the kids. It's like, yeah. well,
so
that's good.
I don't think being, you know, I think getting it out, who are the teacher candidates and who are not, is well worthwhile, because it's the left always does, the right is always a little hesitant.
But I think
there's a few candidates that have mastered that. We have a lot of brand new people. And I just want to help them not stick their foot in their mouth.
Well, you know, my thought would be, don't tell the truth, right?
Yeah, there's
I mean, I think people respect the truth from a candidate. Exactly. And even though, I mean, and so, and like, maybe this would be my hope and prayer for politicians. And if you tell the truth and people decide they don't like what you have to say and they don't elect you, well, that's good. That's how the system's supposed to work. I think that just tell the truth and tell where you stand. I'll give a great example. I was at a women's group, and there was a school board candidate there. And I asked her flat out, what do you think about masks? And she said, I thought this is a good answer. She said, I understand that there are a lot of people who have different opinions on this. And she said, I think it should be a parent's choice. And I thought, perfect. Right. I'm like, hey, if some other parent wants to put their kid in a mask, good for them. If I don't, good for me or whatever. So I'm glad you're having it for them. But, you know, I think it's important that people answer questions straightforwardly.
Well, yeah, we don't want a lot of militant type of sounding things, because that's kind of what, like I said, we have new young people. And some of what I've heard is kind of like,
yeah, you don't want Joe Biden arresting them for domestic terrorism on their first campaign.
I'm going to try to help make a presentation that
inclusive.
Exactly. Although we aren't including everybody,
you can be smart. Well, where can people, once again? It's at the Message of Life Church in Loveland, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
At 605 18th Street Southwest, and that's Tuesday, October 12th, 6 to 8 p.m.
All right.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you for letting us know.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That's okay. We'll talk about the proposition again, Sandra. We'll work on that too. And for Wednesday, we've got Karen Catalin coming on and Ron Hanks coming on. We were on Karen Catalin's show. It was kind of fun. I'd like to say the synchronicities of the universe sometimes amaze me. Literally, as I was saying to Chuck, you know what? Karen Catalin's had some great columns lately. Yeah. We haven't had her on. We should
book her.
Darling, my phone rings and it's her producer saying, hey, can you guys be on the show today? I'm like, oh, great minds. So she'll be on the show along with Ron Hanks. And there'll be some news regarding that you'll be wanting to keep your ears open for. That'll do it for us. Please check out. You can catch all of our podcasts. And again, Facebook is down. Hopefully by Wednesday, we'll have
Hopefully
they'll never come back up. So if you usually listen to us on Facebook, I'll post it as soon as we get it. But otherwise, just go to chuckandjulie.com or bbsradio.com too.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday.
All right.